It's the last episode of the season. Let's hear it one more time. Love that jam.
Oh, that's some sweet, sweet tunes, baby.
Mate, play that at my funeral, please.
Oh, amazing funeral song. Hello. Welcome to the Bitter End podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. And we've done it. We have reached the bitter end of the Police Academy franchise. 7 movies, each more different than the last.
Oh, so different. Ugh. Just so much going on.
Hey, it's chalk and slightly lighter coloured chalk.
Yeah. Indeed. So, why are we here when we've watched all the films? Well, this is the wrap-up episode. So, we're here to just kind of give it a good one last look before we never look at it again. We're gonna bit of an overview on the franchise, on the movies, on the other areas of the franchise that we haven't really talked about, because there are some other things going on in Police Academy. Oh, we're going to get to that.
Oh, yes. Like the great explorer Magellan, we have completed our journey. We're going to look back over the tracks that we have made and go, why did we come here?
Yeah, what do I do with these DVDs now that I've bought them?
On that note, if anybody would like to purchase a box set of all 7 Police Academy movies, get in touch with Tom.
Yes. Please do. And then at the end of this episode, we will be telling you where we're going for the next season.
Which will be season 7. Can you believe it?
Fuck about
that. That is one season of the bitter end for every Police Academy movie almost.
That is. God, we really need to sort our lives out, perhaps.
And on that note of people that need to sort their lives out, if you've been watching these movies along with us, you know what we're talking about.
Oh,
thank you very much, guys.
Hey-oh. Okay.
And if you've not been watching the movies, good on you. You are the smart ones.
Yeah, you've I don't think you've missed out on anything, any real sort of like subtleties. It'll all, you know, just two guys casually having a describer fest.
And hopefully we've given you everything you need.
Yeah.
So Tom, what are your thoughts now that we're here?
You know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I had a feeling that this was going to be a franchise that had not dated well. And it has dated, and not in a kind way, but I thought it would just be a fucking rough ride. I thought it would be diabolical.
Yeah, absolutely. And weirdly, like, some of the tougher hits were nearer the start, actually. Like, as it got a bit more, bit more cartoonish, it was slightly easier to watch from like a present day standpoint. There were less like cringingly, oh, you can't do that moments.
Yeah.
So, you know, and most of those were in the fucking first one. I mean, I remember very clearly when you mentioned to your lovely wife what we would be covering for this season, just the kind of the look of horror.
Oh, God.
Just genuine disgust on her face.
Not pleased with that idea at all.
Of what you were bringing into your house.
Into the house. So someone please take these DVDs. but yeah, like, so like the first one, I still like, I think that stands up quite. That's the one that's probably got the most kind of like genuine laughs in it. Still got maybe way too many. That's the one that's got way too many characters in it.
Yeah, some genuine laughs, but definitely also some
uncomfortable
misfires.
Yes, and then it's like Citizens on Patrol. That was quite a fun watch.
I mean, my highlights would be Assignment Miami Beach, because it's the only one other than Moscow, which is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I loved City Under Siege, because really that's the big budget one.
Yeah, that was one of my favourites as well, definitely.
Yeah. Which isn't too bad, right? Like, I can easily pick 2 favourites out of the 7, and not every franchise we've covered can I pick, like, comfortably 2.
Yeah. And, like, it's a bit of an odd one, I feel like. How do you feel about, like, the cast of characters that they've got going on here? Because we've said many a time, there are too many.
Well, this is a very, very good point, actually, Tom. And on that note, this might be a good time to segue loosely into this little... I've prepared a little quiz for you.
Oh, yeah?
Because at the moment, In terms of people I know, other than myself, you probably are currently the most immersed in the Police Academy franchise, right?
Quite possibly.
Whether or not the knowledge sticks with you, you're something of an expert.
Okay, yeah.
Temporarily.
Yeah. So. I'm putting it on my CV.
So I have prepared a quick quiz just to see. Oh, there's all these characters,
yeah.
Right? They're not necessarily that well-defined. So I want to know, how many of these characters can you tell me what their first name is?
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
So let's start with an easy one. Commandant Lassard, that lovable old goldfish-loving, blowjob-receiving, lovely old coot. What is Lassard's first name?
No.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
You just don't know?
No.
Okay, it is Eric.
Eric Lassard. Fucking Eric.
See, you knew that, didn't
yeah,
you? You did know
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting with the easy ones. Okay, so here's another one which you have said. You have said his first name aloud on the podcast.
Okay.
Tackleberry.
Eugene.
Eugene Tackleberry. Yes, and why do you know his first name? It's because of the scene.
Oh, yes. It's because of the scene where he has that gun strapped to his dick.
Yes.
Yes.
And his girlfriend goes, oh, Eugene. Okay. Hooks. What is Hooks's first name?
Fuck. Oh, I don't know.
Okay, she is Laverne Hooks.
Laverne Hooks, fuck.
Yeah. Okay, now this one should surely be an easy
okay.
one. Okay, our main man, our relatable guy,
yeah.
Mahoney.
Is it Carrie?
It is. I didn't
Carrie
expect
Mahoney.
You to get that
okay,
one.
Yes.
Well
okay.
done.
Okay.
Okay, now this one's kind of a double whammy. Michael Winslow, first or last name for his character?
His last name is Jones.
It is Jones.
And I wonder if, like, I'm... Because you said that Hooks's first name was Laverne?
Laverne.
I felt that his first name was Laverle or something like
that. It's Lavelle.
Lavelle.
Yes. Well done.
Yes.
I'm going to give you that.
Okay.
Okay, you're doing great.
Okay.
You're doing great. Okay, we're halfway through the quiz. We're nearly there. Callahan. Tough cop with the big boobs.
Oh.
It's mentioned once.
Once.
Once in Mission to Moscow. So the movie we've most... recently seen.
I have no idea. I just don't want to, I want to say Temperance because it feels like
Temperance.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, it's not Temperance, but I insist from now on that you guess if you don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Her name is Debbie.
Debbie
Callahan. That's quite nice.
Debs.
Suits her, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a good one. Harris. What is the villain?
Oh,
what is villainous Harris's first name?
He's got a really awesome first name.
Yeah. It's mentioned a few times.
Yes. Fuck.
If you don't know it, you'll have to take a guess.
Like Agamemnon.
I like yours better, but no, it is Thaddeus.
Thaddeus! Fucking Thaddeus! Yes, I knew he had a badass name.
All right, the home stretch. Hightower.
Gary.
No, it is Moses.
Fuck!
So closer to Agamemnon.
Okay, yeah.
All right, last two. Sweet Chuck. The little squeaky guy.
I'm just going to say Sydney.
Close, it's Carl. That is quite close.
Is that close?
It's close enough.
Okay.
And the very last one, Proctor, Harris's best mate, his stooge.
Oh, Felipe.
Same as Sweet Chuck, he's also called Carl.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't
two
it?
Two characters called Carl.
That is very strange.
That's so fucking lazy.
It's so strange. I've got to say, though, like, this series... Whoever was doing the naming of the characters, we were picking some fucking awesome character names. Like...
Oh, yeah. Fucking Thaddeus Harris.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Moses Hightower.
Moses Hightower. Not many of them stuck, though, because you only got 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
And you're
an
expert.
Mate. Yeah, I'm an expert. The thing is, I knew that Harris had an amazing name, but it was just... It didn't stick. I just knew it was cool. Oh, dear. Well, thanks for enlightening me on how unenlightened I actually am after this experience.
It's just been washing over you like a fine mist of water.
Yeah. Are you surprised how over like 7 films with like so many recurring characters, how little development any of them have had?
Yeah, I mean, very few of them have a start. And you know who has the most development, which we didn't really cover that much? Zed, the Bobcat Goldthwait character.
Yeah, he does. He has a bit of a journey.
He starts as a crim Then he becomes a cop, and then he falls in love, and then he's never seen again.
Yeah, he disappears into the sunset, Sweet Chuck.
Yeah, and all in just like three movies, right? So yeah, he does pretty well. The rest of them are like kept in some sort of horrible state of arrested development.
Yeah, because obviously there's stuff. No, stuff happens with Tack because he gets married.
That's true.
You know, like, you get the
in-laws.
Steals
a baby.
Yeah, steals a baby. I mean, nothing happens with Jones. Like, Winslow is like, he just stays there. Just stays
there
going.
Always been
he's always been there, just going beepity boop.
Just a nobody.
Yeah. Just haunting the police academy.
Oh, is that why nobody ever knows? No one ever realizes that he's the one making the sounds, because he's a ghost and they can't see him.
Oh my God.
We finally figured it out.
That's it. Because, yeah, they just start, they're just ignoring him, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Pan into that black and white photo of the Overlook Hotel with Jack Nicholson there. And it says, like, New Year's Eve, 1946. The camera pans past Jack Nicholson in the top corner. There's Winslow. I knew it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, I'm into this theory. Good stuff. But, yeah, I mean, how do you feel like this is held up? What were you thinking going in to what we got?
Going in, I was thinking, I genuinely thought they would be funnier.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that I would laugh more, and I did laugh, but most of the memorable laughs,
yeah,
were not at things that the filmmakers wanted me to be laughing at.
It was more nervous laughter, yeah, whenever we went to the Blue Oyster Bar. We were like, yeah, okay, we're doing this again. yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I thought it was going to be a bit more, like, we've mentioned, like, the similarities or the lack of similarities to Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Naked Gun, I think, is a funnier franchise.
It's much more surreal.
It's much more surreal. I mean, again, like, I don't know if you can really have a film like Police Academy being made now. I think it's a style that has dated, and I think that also Naked Gun is also a style of comedy that has dated.
Yeah, it's that whole kind of National Lampoon's kind of like pun after pun after pun after pun, yeah, which I like, don't get me wrong, but like, I think it's done.
It's done. I think I think there were moments in the later films where the jokes were not thick and fast, and so which left you just being like, so all we've got are underdeveloped characters now.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just having a conversation. But speaking of remakes and reboots and what would work now.
Oh, yeah.
You know that there is supposedly a reboot in the pipeline.
I heard that Goots himself was campaigning to get it made, which I call bullshit on, because he's the one that fucking bailed on the franchise partway through.
And I'd much rather him being trying to get Three Men and a Baby going again. I love that movie.
Three old men and a grown woman.
Yes, exactly. We just call it just some people. no, apparently, like, it went into development in 2014.
Ooh.
By a duo called Key and Peele. I think they were on, like, Mad TV.
Tom, are you shitting me that you do not know who Key and Peele are?
No, who are Key and Peele?
Fucking hell, mate.
Who
okay,
are Key and Peele
are, like, probably the most famous comedy duo in the States at the moment. So Jordan Peele of Key and Peele just directed this movie Get Out, which is one of my favourite films
of recent years.
Yeah, yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were behind the Police Academy reboot.
So they are, like, on board, I think, to, like, write and direct it, or, like, maybe produce. So, like, they're on board. Obviously, this started in 2014, and, like, it's been taking a while for anything to trickle out. But they've said that the film will be a bit more grounded in reality, with influences being The MASH Movie and End of Watch.
I don't know what End of Watch is.
I think it's quite serious.
Okay. I mean, I imagine that now, with everything that's happened with Get Out, Jordan Peele might have slightly bigger fish to fry than a Police Academy reboot on his plate, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a while, isn't it? We're quite good at picking franchises that are supposed to have a new one come out soon, but actually
Nah,
fuck still, it, leave it out.
Leave it out. Still waiting on the new Friday the 13th.
And the new Highlander.
Well, that's interesting, especially if they're trying to take it in a more grounded in reality position, given how cartoonish the season got towards the end.
Yeah.
Speaking of cartoonish, Tom.
Yes, mate.
There was a Police Academy cartoon.
You are absolutely correct, sir. Two seasons of it. Started in 1988.
Yeah, ended the following year, I believe.
I remember watching this as a young wee child.
Do you? Because it passed me by.
I remember it. I, like, clearly, like, well, hey, people, we went and we watched an episode to go and see what it was all about.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So this is like a classic Saturday morning kids cartoon. The only episode we could find on YouTube, or at least the only one that I could find, is episode 7 of, I guess, season 1. And it's called Worth Her Weight in Gold.
Yeah, so here's what's going on in the TV series. So this came out like 88. So this would have been around the time of Miami Beach.
Okay, cool.
But the cast of characters, Goots is still in there.
Mm.
So you've got animated Goots, you've got animated Winslow, you've got Hooks, you've got Hightower, you've got
Sweet Chuck Callahan,
Zed. So you've got these characters that have left the franchise in like the movies, but they kept them in there. House is also there.
Cartoon House.
And then we've also got, you've got obviously like Lasard and Harris and Proctor. They are also joined by the Canine Corps, which are a bunch of talking dogs.
Talking dogs, you say?
Well, I think the dogs only talk to each other and other animals. They can't talk to real people. But still, okay. It's got talking dogs.
Hey-o. So one of the very, very first things that you mentioned to me about this cartoon, Tom, was that the opening credits music...
It's not the Police Academy, you know, this iconic theme. No. Don't use that.
No, but what it is a nice little callback for long-time listeners of the Bitter End podcast. It's done by a little band called The Fat Boys. They're tested, tried and true. They keep the peace for you and me. Hooray, the Police Academy. You might remember the Fat Boys as the mean rap gang that released a Freddy Krueger themed rap song with Bobby UK himself. Well, weirdly, they're back and they've done the theme tune for Police Academy, the animated series.
Yeah, very strange. They actually, I was looking this up, I think they pop up doing voice acting in 2 episodes.
What?
As a bunch of House's mates, because they're big guys and he's a big guy.
That's mental.
Yeah.
I love it. All of the characters are drawn a little bit chubbier than they are in real life in this. It's like one of the things I was like, huh, that's not quite right. But then I saw they did it to everybody. So
apart from
like,
maybe Goots's character is a bit more bean polish, or he looks taller.
Yeah, I suppose.
But it's a bit of not. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, so the episode we saw was a little bit odd. As I said, it's called Worth Her Weight in Gold. And the story follows this female wrestler called Phoenix Amazona. And she is nice.
Good name.
She is. She's all big and muscly and wears a cape. And she's a crook. And she's like robbing banks. And she's stealing gold coins from the gold coin factory.
Yeah, there's a robbery at the gold coin company. Like, I actually like rewound it like the very instant. Like, does that building just say gold coins? Is that a business that exists in Nowheresville, Toronto, USA?
Yeah. She's a right baddie Phoenix Amazona, and she's got this weird voice that makes it sound like she's had a stroke, but it's a sexy stroke.
We did real good, boys. Let's do some wrestling. Sorry, sweetheart. No autographs till after the match. Excuse me, I have to mangle some cops.
It's a very, very weird voice, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's very odd. And, like, The show like suffers from like the classic like 80s Saturday morning cartoon things of like it's rushed as fuck. Like the dialogue is all out of sync. Some of the animation is just like really like a bit wonky. But I remember quite enjoying this at the time. I think that, like, isn't, like, the old saying is, like, never meet your heroes and never rewatch Saturday morning cartoons from the 80s.
Yeah, I remember
because
that.
It can only let you down. That's how that goes, isn't it?
But it's weird. There's a nice little storyline. It's very Sweet Chuck heavy, this.
Yeah.
A little nerdy Sweet Chuck. He falls in love with Phoenix Amazona and is unable to see that she is this, like, terrible thief. And the rest of the team go in disguise as wrestlers, including Zed, who goes in drag in a tutu as, like, another lady wrestler. And they have to try, and they've got this rhinestone that fell off at the crime scene, and they're trying to see if they can match it to Phoenix Amazona's crown or some shit.
She's got a couple of stooges. One of them is a rather unfortunate Asian stereotype, which...
Oh my God, yes, and he speaks in a language which is... nonsense.
Yeah.
He's like a sumo wrestler guy.
And he's just going ooga booga, basically.
Oh my God, that is no good.
It's not cool. There is quite a nice alternate version in this episode of the classic Police Academy theme, which is done on a tuba.
Nice. And it all ends up with Sweet Chuck essentially saving the day. He realizes that his new girlfriend is a crim. They lock her up in a vault. And then Sweet Chuck says, "That's it. I'm done with girls." And then he sees a random woman in a car, jumps into her car and drives away. And then fake Mahoney goes, "Go figure." And then the credits roll.
Check, please. I think the thing I like about it is that it gives, like, some of the other characters, they actually get more stuff to do, so you get quite a lot of, like, Sweet Chuck and, like, House doing...
Yeah, it's very House heavy, isn't it?
Very House
heavy. Lots of gags about him wanting to eat cake and being a big lad.
There's a lot of those gags, and so, like, this cartoon, like, seems quite unremarkable now, you know, you might not remember it, but, like, it spawned a load of other stuff, so there was a whole range of action figures that came out of this, specifically based on the cartoon versions of the gang.
If you're listening to this right now, you owe yourself a Google image search for Police Academy action figures, because there are some bangers out there.
Yeah, the Sweet Chuck one is really cool. There are no female characters in it. There's a load of baddies, because there's a lot of very cartoonish villains that they, like, go up against in this. Because, you know, they're meant to be solving crimes and things like that, which didn't happen in, like, the first four films. but it doesn't just stop there. So there was a board game, Police Academy, the series, the board game.
Double subtitle. Yeah. I love that.
There was going to be a Nintendo game, got cancelled. So there's just only, like, a few images of it out there. It looked like it was pretty shit. And then also there was a short Marvel Comics run.
Really?
Yeah, man. So, Marvel published, I think it was only like six issues of like Police Academy comics, again, based on the cartoon. Couldn't find out like loads about them, but I found like a synopsis for like, you know, like the different issues about like some of the storylines that happened in there. And I thought you might like this one. So this is like an issue 3.
Hit me, brother.
So the intro to the synopsis is...
I'm ready.
In this issue, House eats too much and ends up in hospital.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Eats too much, what, like painkillers or something?
His stomach rips, I don't know.
Are you sure this isn't like a mashup of Police Academy and Seven?
Yeah. Well, I think the story is called Phantom of the Operating Theatre. So he goes to hospital and then strange things start happening and he gets like, he disappears and they have to like kind of, you know, find the phantom of the hospital.
Oh my God.
But just the fact that like, they're kind of like, he's fat.
That's...
Did you not get it from like all, you know, like we're just making him eat constantly. He's fat. It's funny. He's fat.
Laugh at it.
It's 1988.
Oh my God. So full on.
Yeah. That's kind of fucked up, right? So the animated series, we're calling it the animated series, but it was called Police Academy, the series.
Very definitive.
The series. And then what should come out in, I'm going to say, was it 1995?
1997,
but Police Academy, the series. No. Not that Police Academy, the series. the other Police Academy, the series.
This is a live action TV show that came out, as we record, 20 years ago to the day.
Yeah. And didn't do as well as the cartoon, only got one season.
Now, let me tell you guys that me and Tom sought out the pilot episode of Police Academy, the series, on YouTube. And no word of a lie, this is one of the hardest fucking things we've ever had to watch.
I was livid. I was just...
There was this amazing, amazing point where Tom turned to me and said, "Mate, I'm livid." And then I pointed to him on my notebook just a minute ago where I had written down, "Tom looks livid."
And I was. It was not entertaining at all. We looked at the video, found this video on YouTube. It was like an hour long. We were like, oh, fuck my life. The saving mercy of this was that the video is ripped straight from like the telly with all the adverts in. So we're like, oh, thank fuck for that. It's only like 40 something minutes. And the most entertaining bit of this watch was an advert. Not the program. It was advert for smoked sausage with the guy who played Tim the Tall Man Taylor's sidekick in Home Improvements. And he just eats some smoked sausage and raises an eyebrow and goes, "Mmm, that's good sausage."
Yeah, that was pretty good. I also like, it's quite interesting watching 20-year-old adverts. There was also a good ad at the end, which was for the Game Boy Pocket. And it was just really intense, really MTV, and had a like a Billy Corgan lookalike that they'd hired to like do a kind of a fake Smashing Pumpkins song. Plumbers, rabbits, mazes, monkeys, demons, dragons, evil, jungles, puzzles, bells, bombs. Stick it. Stick it in your pocket. It was good.
The actual show?
Not so good.
So you want to know who's in it? Who's in this fucker from the original cast?
Testify, Tom.
It's Michael fucking Winslow.
He's the only one from the original cast. We've got Michael Winslow playing himself and fucking phoning it in as usual. They've split Tackleberry up into two guys, both with the surname Tackleberry, and they're like young, kind of like rollerblading, like whimmy wham wham wazzle douchebags, but they also like guns a bit.
They look like neo-Nazis.
Yeah, like, at any point, they're dressed in camo. They look like
full skinheads.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Like, as coming, like, with Tackleberry, it's he's scary sometimes, but generally he's a bit kind of cuddly and lovable. These guys, they're just murderers.
They're just utter psychopaths. Like, when they're getting drilled by the Harris-esque character. So, like, there's lots of, like, characters that stand in for other characters we know. And this is meant to be this Harris guy.
He's called Ledbetter, but everybody calls him Bedwetter.
Oh, sick burn. And he's like, "Better get an early night's sleep, everybody, because your first week of hell starts tomorrow." And you see the two Tackleberries, and they're just like, "Oh, yes. Hell. Pain. Yeah." And it's like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like where we're going with this one bit.
They would definitely be the type to open the box from the Hellraiser franchise, oh, these guys.
They probably actually live inside the box.
There's a pretty cool bit with them near the start where they're like running around with super soakers and they spray like this lady that's passing by and she falls over and screams, but her scream is the exact same, this is a bit of a deep cut, it's the exact same scream sound effect that was used in the old PC video game Dungeon Keeper for the Dark Mistress characters. If anybody out there like me also used to play a lot of Dungeon Keeper, this scream sound will be very reminiscent to you.
That is a big deep cut. So the only other like thing, like you know, like of people of note that are in it, in the kind of the Lasard role is actor Joe Flaherty.
Yep, and he's the guy that shows up in Happy Gilmore and goes, "Jackass!"
Yeah, he also plays like Lindsay's dad in Freaks and Geeks. Like him, he's good. Terrible in this, but, you know, he got better.
That's kind of it. We've got a fake Goots whose name is Casey.
Yeah, you've always got to have a fake Goots, and I will say that he is the most dislikable fake Goots we've had. Out of four fake, you know, four Goots, he is bottom of the pile. But he's so smug as well. He's really high ranking on the Gootsometer. But
yes, yeah, super Goots and out. There's a scene with him and the kind of love interest who is this girl called Annie, and she's blonde and she's quite sweet, but her thing is that she's cursed. And every time a man gets attracted to her, something terrible happens to him. And there's this scene with her walking along talking to a friend, and the friend is like, "Hey, just because your husband died on your wedding night while you were making love, Yeah, which is pretty grim. But
that's not funny. That's
no,
awful.
Yeah, exactly. That is awful. And that probably happens to people.
Yeah.
And she's trying to keep Casey at arm's length. And his way to like get into her heart is to help her out when she can't swim at this like swimming scene. And he just says to her, "How many bras did you bring?" And she's like shrugs it off. And he's like, "How many bras did you bring? Tell me how many bras. Tell me about the bras."
Classic Goots.
Classic smugging Goots. And anyway, turns out that she wears every bra that she has, and he rips up his mattress to stuff the bras full of foam rubber to like help her float. And that's how he like worms his way into her heart.
Yeah. Like when she was like being like, "Oh God, I don't want to get together with fake Goots because I just, you know, like I killed my husband," and I was just shouting at the screen, "Fuck him. Fuck all of them. Kill them all off, please."
That would have been a very different TV show if it's her like fucking people in order to murder them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That would be, I wouldn't say darker, because this was a pretty dark watch for me. I've written a note here. This is the level of tedium I was expecting all along. Like, you know, when we're kind of like, "Oh man, is doing Police Academy going to be a bad idea?" And we're kind of like, actually, you know, surprisingly more watchable than we thought. This was the low ebb that I had imagined. Just like, not a fucking joke in it.
Yeah. I mean, the character that really seemed to push Tom over the edge was a character whose name I didn't even catch, who's this like massive big lad, kind of a bit of a Hightower stand-in, I suppose. He's got like braces and is like a huge sort of biker type. And his joke is that he's strong and he's dumb. So there's a line where fake Goots says to him at the end of their first day at the academy, he says, "So what did you think of your first day?" And the big lad goes, "Well, I don't really remember it. I was just a baby. But my mum says I mostly cried and slept."
Okay, that was kind of funny.
And then a bit later, there's like been a crime. And he goes, "Let's call 911. Does anybody know the number?"
Okay, that was a bit, that got me, that got my dander up. I was not happy about that. So he's basically like Hightower, but without the kind of all the endearing, kind of like the gentle soul vibes of Hightower. And you were telling me a story the other day about Mr. Hightower.
Oh, yeah.
And what a good lad he is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Is it Bubba Smith? Is that the guy that played Hightower? Just sounds like the best dude. So the reason that neither Hightower nor Hooks are in Mission to Moscow, apparently the original script featured heavily on Hightower, but no Hooks at all. Mm. And Hooks phoned up Bubba Smith, and she was apparently in tears because she was having some money trouble, and he'd like lent her some money already in the past. And she was like really just upset that she wasn't going to be in the film because she was really looking forward to it. And Bubba Smith went to the producers and said, "Look, you've got to put Hooks in this movie. You've got to do it." And they were like, "Nope, sorry, we can't write it into the script." And so he went, "Fuck you then." And he walked. He walked on principle for Hooks,
which is a nice
bit of sort of mirroring of the character Hightower standing up for the character Hooks in the first Police Academy, where he also quits the force because of standing up for her. It's nice.
I like it. And I think, you know, whatever you think about these characters, at least like in the films, they've all got each other's back apart from, you know, for Harry, you know, they're all bonded. And it's nice that that's kind of like, yeah, they're in real life. And I was like, the actress who played Hooks, obviously, like, she wasn't back for any of these, you know, she wasn't reunited with the gang. But eventually, she would be in the sci-fi original movie Lavalantula.
Oh, yeah!
That's right. So, you know, like, sci-fi makes all, like, Sharknado and Shark to Bot and Squid to Ageddon, Comet, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. So Lavalantula is basically about like lava spiders, starring Steve Guttenberg and the surviving members of the Police Academy cast, because unfortunately quite a few of them have passed away, which is a bit of a bummer. But it's got Winslow.
Yep.
Hooks is in it.
Yep.
And
Goots.
Yeah, Goots and Callahan. They all come back for this like bizarre, purposefully made to be bad, like monster movie for the Sci-Fi Channel, and then they also come back in To Lava, To Lantula, the sequel.
Oh my God, that sounds dope.
We may not have a new Police Academy, but we do have that.
We'll always have that, Tom. Well, yeah, that's kind of it, really. Is there anything more to talk about for the show? the series?
Just don't fucking watch it.
Don't watch it.
It had the worst, like, the Winslow shows up in it, and he doesn't really do very much. You think, oh, God, he's phoning this in. And then suddenly he's all over it like a fucking rash. And it was...
Oh, yeah. You know how these movies, like, the last 20 minutes is always like, oh, a speedboat chase or a monster truck chase or something like that. Well, this, the last 20 minutes of it, and it's only an hour long, remember, the last 20 minutes of it are a really tedious hockey match between some gang members and the good guys, like our like gang of cops. And fucking Winslow is up in the booth. He's like narrating it like a commentator.
Yeah.
And they're not even jokes. He's just, like, saying baffling shit, like...
Have a nice trip, baby! Catch you when you wake up next time!
Zing!
Is that a zing? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Tom, what does that even mean?
We'll have to call Winslow and ask him, but I don't really want to.
No.
So, instead of doing that, I think maybe we should have a little round... of Pitch the Sequel.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is a feature we do every time we do one of these wrap-ups at the end of every season, where me and Tom each take it in turns to imagine our own entry into the canonical franchise that we have covered. And this time we'll be doing Police Academy. Now, Tom, whose turn is it to go first? Can you remember?
I have no fucking idea.
Would you like to go first, or
I'll
should
go,
I?
I'll go.
You
I'll
go. Go, buddy. You okay. go. I can't wait to hear your sequel.
Okay, buddy. So... submitted for your approval the next entry into the Police Academy franchise, or the one that I would imagine that I would have liked to have happened. It would have come, this would be like Police Academy 4.5.
Okay, so that's after Citizens on Patrol, but before Assignment Miami Beach.
Before Assignment Miami Beach, yes. So it would be Police Academy House of Tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. So, you know, like how Gooch just like goes off in that that hot air balloon with Sharon Stone and yeah. he's never seen him again. So after Citizens on Patrol, Gooch he goes off with Sharon Stone and he goes back in time with her.
Ooh.
Turns out, yeah, that Sharon Stone is from the future and she's trying to stop a time-traveling house from creating a dystopian apocalypse in the future. So you've got Sharon Stone is from one future... House is from a different future. Because, like, the thing is, like, House is just always there.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no reason... There's no reason why House is always... Well, he's just always there because he's there trying to manipulate world events to lead to this dark future.
He's like an evil Forrest Gump.
And Sharon Stone has been trying to follow him through time to try and thwart him in his attempts.
Love it.
And so she's sailing off with Gutenberg. She's like, Goots, I need your help with sorting out House. And so the reason that Goots doesn't come back from Mission to Miami is he flies through a rift in time with Sharon Stone. So the film would just be Goots and Stone jumping backwards through time, trying to thwart House, getting into a bunch of madcap situations throughout different eras of history. And it's all going to come to a head as they come to the Kennedy assassination. And just as Goots is about to stop House from what he thinks, he thinks that House is going to assassinate Kennedy, another rift in time appears.
Oh my God.
And then you get this cyborg hybrid of Zed and Sweet Chuck, because this they don't show up either in any other film. So they come back. They come back from another alternative reality to be like, no, Goots, don't kill House. Sharon Stone was the bad guy all along. She's from the evil universe. And so it turns out that House is kind of like a keeper of the peace across all of time and reality. And like the reason that he's always there is he's making sure that the universe is heading on the right track. Now, that doesn't always mean doing what some people think is the right thing, which means that Kennedy has to die in order for like us to not go into this like hideous like post-apocalyptic dystopia. So the film finishes with Gutenberg having to assassinate Kennedy, and then afterwards he goes and fucking cracks onto Jackie O. House says, my work is done here. and disappears into the ether.
It's emotional.
Yeah.
I'll say the budget sounds quite high.
Now, we'll all just film it in several rooms. It'll be about as equally high budget as Mission to Moscow.
Okay.
They'll just be like looking out the window, "Gah, the president's, you know, like motorcade sure looks great, doesn't it?" And we never see it.
Okay.
There'll just be a lot of it will just be in like hotel rooms, being like, "Where is house? He's over there talking to Leonardo da Vinci." Okay.
Well, that is incredibly broad in scope and deep in flavour.
And I think like time travel is a very difficult thing to write. So I'd imagine the people who do Police Academy could definitely handle it.
I mean, it sounds like a cinch, right?
And it just explains like why House is always there.
He's always there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tom. I mean, that's definitely put my own sequel idea under a bit of shade, because I'm here to tell you that this is the dumbest sequel idea I have ever pitched.
Fantastic.
This is the dumbest one I have ever pitched.
I hope so.
Okay, so
it seems fitting.
Here goes. It just comes at the end of the series, like it comes out this year.
Yeah,
it's called Police Academy 8. There's a bomb in my boobs.
Okay,
and I feel like you can now just tell everything that's going to happen in it. But it begins with Lasard is going to be receiving a lifetime achievement award. Callahan's going to escort him to the event as his glamorous date. In order to try and embarrass Lasard at the event, Harris plants a bomb in Callahan's boobs. At the event, Callahan realises what has happened and says, "There's a bomb in my boobs." When this line is spoken aloud, in the cinema, sirens and flashing lights go off, and all the audience are encouraged to whoop and holler and go whoop whoop, and then they all throw bras at the screen, and then maybe Limp Bizkit plays.
Awesome. Is that it?
There's a little bit more. Okay. There's a little bit more. If Callahan ever stops being motorboated, then then the bomb will go off.
So it's like Speed?
Yeah, it's very much like Speed. So all of the characters at the event, all of them at the party, they line up in a big line for non-stop motorboating sessions, during which fucking Winslow stands at the background making the noises of an actual motorboat. The film ends with the bomb being defused during some kind of hang glider chase that's never explained. I haven't worked that bit out. They land successfully and high five, only for Callahan to look a bit concerned, check inside her shirt and go, "Wait! There's another bomb in my boobs." When this line is spoken aloud, sirens and flashing lights go off in the cinema again. The audience are encouraged to whoop and holler and go whoop whoop and throw bras at the screen again. And then Limp Bizkit definitely plays over the end credits. It's just one of those
days where you don't wanna... Amazing. And does that set up for There's a Bomb in My Boobs too?
There won't be a sequel, but there is a post-credits scene where...
Well, I was just thinking, because Police Academy, the comics, were done by Marvel.
Yes.
So... post-credit scene, like, Thor shows up?
Yeah, Thor shows up and there's a bomb in his butt.
Yes! Awesome.
Well, there you go. That's my sequel idea. Tom, what do you reckon?
Yeah, mate, I'm there.
I mean, of the two of them...
Yeah. Yours is probably more...
It's more plausible.
Yeah, I assume that it's being made now by the guy who directed Get Out. 100%. Seems like the kind of thing he'd want to do.
I'll pitch it to him. I follow him on Twitter. I can only hope that he follows me too.
Well, send him a message.
Well, that is it, guys. We're kind of done with all things of the Academy of Police. We hope you've enjoyed coming on the ride with us and getting to the bitter end by hook or by crook. By hooks or by crooks.
Nice.
I should say.
Yes.
Because like crooks as well, because like baddies.
I get it. Because they're police.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to catch... like sexy grandpa and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Not ever too much of it.
No.
Sexy grandpa is running amok. So all that remains is for us to reveal what we're going to be covering for the next season, season 7. Because of course we're coming back for a season 7, guys.
These films won't watch themselves. So we've done a comedy. We're gonna step back from that. We're gonna go back to a little bit more kind of familiar turf, you might say. So hold on to your butts, people. It's going to be horror.
Yeah, we are returning to our slasher roots. It is a franchise of 6 films currently, with a 7th on the way, but we're only going to be covering the first 6 and then deal with the 7th when it comes out.
Yep.
What is it? It is a little franchise. Cool.
Huh?
Hi, I'm Chucky.
Child's Play.
Oh, I am terrified.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for... I'd never seen it. I saw the trailer for this when I was a little chap. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Now, Tom,
oh, that is terrifying. I do not want to watch that.
Now, Tom, I know that you're not as much of a horror guy as me, but you and I have watched a lot of horror films together. And never have I actually seen you be, like, a little bit nervous about something. But I can tell you are slightly nervous about this.
It's
and
just,
I love it.
It's just creepy, man. It's like... Toys coming back to... It's going to be like the creepy like Sid's house in Toy Story, but like worse, right?
I think it might. So I've only seen the first one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the others, but it's just if you're the kind of person that's going to be watching these along with us and you want to get out there and get them, there's a really cool one box Blu-ray set that you can get quite cheap at the moment. It's got all of the films in one box. Bosh, you're done. And that encompasses Child's Play from 1988. Child's Play 2 from 1990, Child's Play 3 from 1991, then Bride of Chucky from 1998,
ooh.
Seed of Chucky from 2004,
ooh.
And Curse of Chucky from 2013.
2013,
I
fuck.
Know, recent. And all of this is going to set us up, which we'll have to cover as like a bonus episode later in the year when it's when it's a done deal, for the newly released 2017 Cult of Chucky.
Oh.
That's not coming out till the end of this year.
But... it's going to be nice actually watching one where we know that like that there is a new film coming out rather than it being like Friday the 13th when it's just never going to happen. I'm also looking forward to like some of the later films going to be quite new metal, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first film is the only one I've seen, but it's legitimately good. It's just a cool slasher film.
Mm.
And, you know, it's reasonably serious in tone. And there's a definite point you can tell from even just those titles where it swaps over from being... Child's Play, these movies about, you know, it's the Child's Play franchise, and starts being all about Chucky.
Yes.
And that is the point where it's just like super duper, like late 90s, early noughties, like sell the soundtrack before you write the fucking script, kind of just get all of the metal bands you can think of on there.
Yeah.
And I'm so pumped.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've
that.
Never seen any of these sequels.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. And also, you know, slightly apprehensive.
Yeah. So I hope you guys come back and join us for the Child's Play franchise, season 7 of The Bitter End. We're going to take a little bit of a break, you know, just sort of get our lives back on track, like shake off all of the goots.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it really gets in everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah, get the Febreze out.
Oof.
There might be a cheeky bonus episode or two during that break, so don't worry, we won't leave you hanging. And when we're ready, we will re-emerge on your feed, so make sure you're subscribed if you don't want to miss that, or follow us on Facebook at Bitter End Pod or Twitter at Bitter End Pod to keep an eye out for when we will be coming back.
Yeah, so there's nothing left for us to do, but first of all, better thank our special guest who's been with us all episode... House.
Didn't say much, but it was good to also have you here.
He was definitely there.
House here.
Thanks, House.
So until next time, it's The Bitter End. I'm Tom Denny.
I'm Todd Jordan. But Tom, can you stop kicking me under the table?
I'm not kicking you under the table.
Well, then who's this under the table?
I don't know, mate.
Oh my.
Todd and Tom will return for The Bitter End, Season 7, Child's Play, Whimmy Wham Wham Wazzle!